for me. I think that's why I was able to do what I did, because I was fearless. Concepcion Picciotto was not fearless. She was probably the most afraid person I ever knew, and therefore she was probably the most courageous person I ever knew, because she stayed out there all by herself, day and night, for 35 years.
Well, I do want to thank you so much for being with us today. Again, I've been speaking with Ellen Thomas. She is a part of the ongoing vigil in front of the White House to end nuclear weapons and to end nuclear energy across the world. And you can find out more at their website, prop1.org. That's prop, the number one, .org. Ellen, thank you so much for being here on KBOO today.
Thank you, Janka, for having me.
This is Janka Soderberg with KBOO Radio.
Good morning. It is just 9:30. This is KBOO Community Radio. Next up on Political Perspectives, Kristen Yount speaks with Rose Longoria of the Yakima Nation Fisheries about the Portland Harbor Superfund site.
This is Kristen Yount with KBOO Radio. I had the opportunity to speak with Rose Longoria of the Yakima Nation. It's her job to be concerned with the EPA Superfund cleanup. And she talked with me on Friday, February 11th. All right. First off, the Yakima Nation doesn't exactly sit on the Willamette. So can you talk about your role? Why does the Yakima Nation in the talks moving forward?
Yeah, definitely. So the Yakima Nation is a sovereign government. The reservation is in South Central Washington, but the tribe has ceded lands and regional custom lands. And ceded lands in Washington State and regional custom lands throughout the Pacific Northwest. The Lower Willamette River is a regional custom area of the Yakima Nation, and we're concerned about the contamination in the Willamette River, which is the most industrialized river tributary to the Columbia River. And so we're concerned about the pollution and contamination both in the river itself and then what is going into the Columbia. And so Yakima has been engaged for over two decades in, one, trying to get the site listed on the national priorities list as a Superfund site, and then two, being engaged in the cleanup process and decision-making.
I just want to tell our listeners that I heard you speak at the League of Women Voters Clean Up Our Rivers panel last week or this week, and you were speaking about the differences between two options. And we've said before that in cleaning up the river, the Environmental Protection Agency has come up with eight choices. The end of the public comment period that's coming up, they will make a decision of which of the eight to use. And a couple of them have been sort of knocked off the list because it's basically do nothing and let the river take care of itself. So that's monitored natural restoration, or is that right?
Recovery. Monitored natural recovery, yes, correct.
And in two of the plans that are being most talked about is Plan E and Plan G. Plan E asks for 84% of the river to just heal itself. And Plan G asks for about 64% of the river to just heal itself. And the remaining parts, the parts that aren't going to be left alone, will be either dredged and capped, or just dredged, or just capped. So what can you say about, how can you compare and contrast choice E and choice G?
Okay, so EPA has a conceptual plan that they put forward, and you're correct. There are several alternatives for cleanup. And back in the fall of 2015, EPA basically picked alternative E, which is in the feasibility study, and they've modified it slightly. But basically, that alternative is a $1.4 billion cleanup with about 7 years of construction time frame. And you'll have about 167 acres that are dredged. You'll have about 83 acres that are capped, and you'll have 1,800 acres that are monitored natural recovery. So the way I would say that is really alternative E that EPA is, or initially proposed as a alternative for moving forward in developing the proposed plan, treats only about 10% of the site. And so Yakima Nation is not supportive of that alternative E or alternative E optimized. We just don't believe it cleans up enough of the Portland Harbor area. It basically leaves almost 90%. It's 86% of the site to what I would call do-nothing alternative of monitored natural recovery. And so the cost difference between alternative E and alternative G is substantial. There's, you know, it's another $1 billion. Alternative G right now, based on costs that EPA has put forward, is a $2.4 billion remedy. But that one also is rather limited in how much area it dredges. It dredges less than a quarter of the entire site. And so the site for the Portland Harbor area is about 10 river miles. It has over 2,800 acres of sediment that are contaminated. The entire site itself is toxic to human health. Toxic to human health. A large majority of the site itself is toxic to plants and animals. And yet EPA's preferred cleanup alternative that they discussed, and this will change in the next 6 to 7 weeks when they come out with their proposed plan, but what they're proposing now only treats about 10% of the site. And Yakima basically has said this in no way protects Yakima Nation's treaty resources or the way of life that the tribe is dependent on for, you know, sustaining their culture. And, well, So those are the two options. I think I can talk a little bit more about how to compare that with maybe other cleanups in the West.
Yeah. So just to be clear, we have the Plan E, which is leaving almost 90%, like 86% of the riverbed untreated. And so they'll be concentrating on the river banks where the outlets are, that is where wastewater comes into the river, and places where there were a lot of very clearly saturated with harmful chemicals that cannot be, that do not degrade. They need to be removed in order to be safe. And so obviously, the way to make the river as safe as possible, you need to get as much material out of the river as possible. And so when you're talking about a plan that only dredges or only removes sediment from 14% of the area, and then the plan like G, which is how much sediment is coming out with G?
So, as I said before, it's G is also does not remove a ton of sediment from, it doesn't remove a lot of sediment from the riverbed. It's about 0.25%.
Okay.
About 25% of the material would be removed. I think the point here is we're not advocating for dredging the river from, you know, bank to bank.
No.
But we are recommending that EPA strongly look at what we're referring to as a alternative G+. So alternative G in the feasibility study was supposed to get the site to a more background condition. But unfortunately, in this area, even background is not protective of human health and the environment. And so what we are proposing to EPA and pushing for is an alternative G+ that is more of a comprehensive approach that utilizes both state and federal programs, in addition to Superfund itself, to really clean up the Willamette River and, you know, both the Portland area and upstream of the Portland area. What we're focused on is a cleanup that is a more permanent cleanup. And so our concern with doing a lot of alternative things like capping or monitored natural recovery is that leaving that too much contamination in the river is not a real permanent remedy. Whether you get a high flood year event or an earthquake or changes in the river itself could dramatically affect how clean the river is into the future. And so our hope is to have something much more permanent that provides protection for the resources.
So as far as I understand, the Audubon Society, which is part of the Portland Harbor Citizen Advisory Group, the Yakima Nation, and several other parties that are not possible responsible parties, but are part of the process, want this G+ program, want this G+ option to be the option that the EPA adopts. And you were saying that the only way to make this happen is if the other part of the Superfund profile, that is the people, actually come out and demand that they want Plan G+, what that means.
Yeah, so in about 7 to 8 weeks, EPA will be coming out with a proposed plan. That plan will be available for the general public to review. EPA will be having informational meetings throughout the public comment period, which right now is scheduled for about 60 days. So through April and May of this year, people have an opportunity to comment on that proposed plan. And I believe that the way to get EPA to really reevaluate the site, and EPA has said this themselves, you know, one of the criteria in determining an appropriate remedy is the acceptance of the community and what the community has to say. And so this is really sort of a once in a life. This is an opportunity, a really good opportunity for the community to come out and have a community outcry to EPA saying that cleaning up just 10% of the site is not acceptable. What we need is an alternative that is a permanent cleanup remedy that will be, you know, in place for a long period of time and removes as much of the contamination as possible from the river.
Yeah, and what's cool about this is it's not that people who are advocating for G+ have nothing to show. It's not like they're saying, "Oh, we don't want what you're willing to do." there's actually a decent proposal in place. So it's not like they're going to have to go all the way back to the drawing board to find a more suitable plan. The plan has already been drafted. Is that right?
So a lot of folks that are involved in, are intimately involved, like the other tribes, there are six tribes engaged in the Portland Harbor cleanup process. Yakima is one of those tribes, and you have Audubon Society, as well as the lower Willamette River Keepers, as well as the Community Advisory Group, have all provided information to EPA with recommendations of what a better cleanup at the site, whether you call that a G+ or just a better cleanup, would look like. And EPA has that information and has the information to develop an alternative that provides greater protection for human health and the environment.
And so just in the last couple of seconds here, it's a big subject, but obviously this is a very politically touchy subject. We have the state and local government agencies that are actually responsible parties, and they're going to be, like anybody would, negotiating for the best deal that they can. And I wanted to just ask you about what are some of the, like, when a politician says, oh, this is going to cost too much money, like if Northwest Natural says, oh, we're going to have to extend the cost of this to our ratepayers, and it's going to be it's going to cause economic upheaval. There was something that was said the other night about for every $1 billion brought in to the project, that's $1 billion for the economy. Was that you saying that?
Actually, I believe that was a representative from Audubon Society. And if I remember correctly, he was saying for every dollar spent on the cleanup is a dollar that, equal amount that goes to the community. So the economic side of this, I'm less familiar with. But it's that from what I understood is, he was making some comparison about the investment in cleanup has a direct benefit to the community.
Okay. So, but you can maybe speak about how we can ease the political tensions between our governing bodies and the people and what's right for the harbor.
Well, I think industry has been very effective in exploiting the high-cost determinations for these cleanups. I think they've done a good job in making EPA seem unreasonable. And I think industry is doing the same thing to the general public. These are very large numbers that we're talking about. But, one of the things that I stated during the presentation to the League of Women Voters was a comparison between another site that was nearly a 3.8-acre site in California. It was a steel drum reconditioning site. And so I want to be, very careful for the listeners. This is not an apples-to-apples comparison, but it does give a general sense of what were the type of figures that we're looking at when it comes to cleanup. But this very small site was a $22 million settlement for cleanup. And if you compare that to the 2,200-acre site for Portland Harbor, we would probably be talking about $12 billion cleanup. And again, this is not an apples-to-apples comparison, but it does give a general sense of the type of cleanup figures that we're dealing with when we're dealing with these mega Superfund sites, which Portland Harbor is. It's often referred to as the Portland Harbor Superfund site, but in actuality, there are multiple. The site is so large, it could be broken up into multiple Superfund sites. And so when you look at that, when you look at the site in that realm, then when you get to an alternative G that is $2.4 billion, it is in no way inappropriate for this site.
Excellent. Well, that's a great comparison because we're talking about one plan. Plan E is supposed to has a $1.2 billion price tag, and then Plan G has a $2.4 billion price tag, I'm pretty sure. It's small in comparison when you compare this very small site in California, and it costs you say it's not an apples to apples comparison, but there is, you know, some truth to that, that if you reduce it to so many acres is going to cost so many millions of dollars, you know, and you're only looking at 10 acres costing tens of millions of dollars, then you can easily extrapolate that for the 2,000 plus acres that are in the river and find that you're really only attacking a fraction of that when you assess the damages at $2 billion, I think.
And, you know, it's not that we want industry to have to pay a lot of money. It's just that we want the most appropriate cleanup for the site. And unfortunately, that when you talk about dredging and this site and the complexities of this site, it is going to be expensive. But we are talking about a community who, in my understanding, really values the environment and values the health and welfare of their community and their constituents.
And this is whatever policy is adopted will affect Portlanders, and this is something that's going to be completed within the lifetime of many people living in the city now and their children. And it's up to the people. Well, I guess you could probably say it better. It's up to the people to stand up in this once in a lifetime chance.
Yeah, I think we get one bite at the apple. And we want to make sure that we take the correct bite. We want to make sure that we get the correct remedy or cleanup for this site. And it affects folks today. It will affect folks tomorrow and well into the future.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today, Rose. And I hope to, you know, you'll probably be at these meetings coming forward. When are you planning to be in Portland next speaking?
So I have been asked to participate in a Portland Harbor Community Advisory meeting at the Linton Community Center, and that is on Tuesday, February 23rd at 7 o'clock, and that is being sponsored by the Portland Harbor Community Advisory Group Forum. So that will be the next time that I'm speaking. However, even this evening, there's a EPA informational series that I will be attending as well. So, and then moving into the future, I'm looking forward to other opportunities to provide information on Yakima Nation's viewpoint on the cleanup at this site.
Again, endless gratitude to you for all that you do and for taking the time to speak with us today at KBOO.
Thank you.
All right. All right, that was Rose Longoria from the Yakima Tribe. Coming up this month, you can go to a series of community information sessions. The next one is Thursday, February 18th at Woodrow Wilson High School cafeteria. Beginning at 6 to 6:30 will be the seating, and then the session will start at 6:30 and go till 8. On Thursday, March 3rd, there's a live webinar. You can register for that on the EPA website. That's Thursday, March 3rd for an online information and discussion session. That's from 7 to 8 p.m. On Thursday, March 17th, the Southeast Multicultural Center, that is 4610 Southeast Belmont in Portland. The open house will be from 6 to 6:30. Information and discussion sessions from 6:30 until 8. On Saturday, March 19th at Matt Dishman Community Center, that's 77 Northeast Knott Street in Portland. Open house from 12:30 to 1 p.m. and the information and discussion session will be from 1 to 2:30 p.m. Daytime one there. And then Saturday one on March 26th at OMSI, the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, 1945 Southeast Water Avenue in Portland. That will have a visual display, some sort of graphic facilitator will be present. And that open house is from 11:30 to 12 p.m. Information and discussion session from 12 until 1:30 p.m. Again, that is March 26th at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. It's a Saturday. In addition, you are invited to attend the following forum. It is on Tuesday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. at the. This is put on by the Community Advisory Group, the Portland CAG. There'll be a forum, a panel. It's at Linton Community Center at 10614 Northwest St. Helens Road in Portland. This is put on by the citizen group that has been assisting the EPA in its fact-finding missions over the last 16 years as volunteers. You can find out more by clicking on www.kboo.fm and looking at today's schedule for this episode, this time slot, and you can find the links to the EPA and to the Portland Harbor Citizen Advisory Group. I will post those for you.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor War Against the People, Israel, the Palestinians, and Global Pacification, a public lecture by Jeff Halper, Tuesday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Portland. Jeff Halper is the longtime head of the Israel Committee Against House Demolitions and is known for his activism on the ground in support of Palestinian rights and a just peace. Jeff will be on a book tour for his recently published book, War Against the People. Again, that's War Against the People, Israel, the Palestinians, and Global Pacification, a public lecture by Jeff Halper, Tuesday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. at the First United Methodist Church, 1838 Southwest Jefferson in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The 18th Annual Homelessness Marathon Broadcast, a national town hall discussion on poverty and homelessness in America.
I think it would be pretty startling for the majority of the public to know that within about two blocks from the White House itself, there are homeless people sleeping in parks.
This year, we'll be live from the streets of Washington, D.C. That's the Homelessness Marathon Broadcast, coming to you soon and heard right here on this radio station.
This station is KBOO Portland. Hear the Homelessness Marathon live beginning at 5 p.m. Wednesday, February 17th, and continuing until 6 a.m. Thursday morning.
Good morning. This is KBOO Portland, and the time is just 2 minutes before the top of the hour. That's 10 o'clock. Coming up this morning on The Boo at 10:15, Flashpoints features excerpts from a brand new speech by radical economist Dr. Richard Wolff, just delivered last Wednesday as a special benefit for KPFA Pacifica Radio. And at 11 on the food show, Dr. Antonella Aguilera Ruiz describes her new podcast, From Slow Food. Marisha Auerbach from Permaculture Rising gives us some advice about preparing and designing the garden. And James Cohn talks about CiderCon and the growth of the cider industry in America. Thank you, KBOO members, for your support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And now, stay tuned, coming right up for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, February 17th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have an audio guest today. I recorded a little bit on a Monday up in Celilo. I was